Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Valiant Organics Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Winstar Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Winstar Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to Valiant Organics Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. The company is represented by Mr. Arvind Chheda, Managing Director of the company, Mr. Mahesh Chheda, Chief Financial Officer of the company, and Mr. Mihir Shah, Senior Finance Manager of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Arvind Chheda for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all at our earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2024. Let me firstly thank Ventura Securities for hosting this conference call and the participants for joining us today. Let me start by briefing you on the industry landscape first. The industry is currently going through an extreme volatile and challenging phase, as you all must have noticed from the Q1 results of the other chemicals also. This has been characterized by declining prices and heightened competition, especially from China's accelerated economy opening. Global demand has been disrupted due to the economic slowdown in Europe and U.S., leading to reduced exports. While domestic demand remains resilient, the surge in dumping by Chinese exporters following COVID-related measures easing has intensified competition and impacted the Indian manufacturers' performance. Across products, we are witnessing significant demand destructions, resulting in price deterioration and inventory losses. Unfortunately, our company was not immune to this phenomenon as well. Our CFO, Mr. Mahesh Chheda, will take you through the financials and operational highlights of the quarter. Thank you. Over to Mahesh.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this earnings call. I hope you have had a chance to study our financials and earnings presentation, which we have uploaded on our website and exchanges. For the first quarter of financial year 2024, the revenue from operations declined by around 24% year-on-year to around 202 crores rupees. The EBITDA was reported at rupees 24 crores, which was declined by around 25% year-on-year. EBITDA margins for the quarter were 11.84%. The net profit reported was around rupees 15 crores, which declined by about 12% year-on-year, while our PAT margins for the quarter were 7.38%. On the operational front, the market conditions for quarter one financial year 2024 were quite challenging, as already explained, due to China's reopening, continued inventory destocking, and geopolitical complexities. As we observed a continued sluggishness in the sales of dyes and pigments, another slowdown emerged in the demand for agrochemicals, further affecting our performance. On a standalone basis, margins squeezed from the previous quarter. However, gross margins improved on year-on-year basis from 30.30% in quarter one financial 2023 to 35.49% in quarter one financial 2024. While EBITDA and PAT margins remained range around to quarter one financial 2023 levels at 11.47% and 5.87% respectively. Lastly, we recently commercialized a renewable plant for captive consumption of 2.2 megawatt wind power alongside ReNew Power, and the benefits will be seen from quarter two financial.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
Hello?
Yeah.
Sir, your voice is breaking, sir.
Lastly, we recently commercialized a renewable plant for captive consumption of 2.2 megawatt wind power alongside ReNew Power, and the benefits will be seen from quarter 2 financial year 24 onwards. With this, we can now open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Sainath Sridhar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. This is Srinath here. Just wanted to understand that is this demand slowdown going to extend throughout the year, or do you see any growth and improvement in margins going forward?
Hi, Srinath. Thank you for your question. This is Sahil. Yeah, so this particular year seems to be a difficult one. Even the current scenario seems to be a little bleak itself. We are expecting some turnaround to show up towards the Q3 and Q4 in the textiles, as depending on how we've spoken to our clients. But it's still it is very early on right now to really predict how it's going to move. But more or less, we are expecting the year to be difficult. Margins, however, will probably be around the same as well. Raw material prices have bottomed out. In fact, some of them have started seeing a bit of an uptick. So we can say that it has bottomed out. However, price corrections are still ongoing, and it's happening pretty quickly as well. So we are yet to see where the prices of the finished goods end up being. So that will really determine the margins.
All right, so it will remain at 12% level, you mean to say, throughout. So the entire year, how does the revenues look? Is there a degrowth expected?
Yes, to be on the conservative side, we are expecting around 5 to 10% of degrowth in this year. But like I said, it's still, the markets are so volatile, very difficult to predict correctly. But we do see some bit of degrowth coming in for this year.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So what would be our revenue guidance for this current financial year in terms of numbers?
We are looking at somewhere around 800-850 crores on a standalone basis.
Okay. Because I think if I remember correctly, in the previous call, just 2-3 months back, you had guided for 1,200 crore revenue guidance.
Correct. So we had to revise our guidance given the quarter that went, and there's still volatility remains there. So basis that, we have to revise our guidance for this year.
But then in just one quarter, it became so difficult? I mean,
yes. The
from 1,200 crore, you are guiding 850 crore?
So demand. So earlier on in Q4, we were expecting only textile to be poor, while some improvement coming in the textile towards the second half of the year. But agro slowdown also came in, and China is also dumping their excess products. So prices are crashing significantly, even on PAP front and other product across products. The prices have rectified very fast. More than expected. So, yeah, in a quarter, and the current quarter also that we see does look slow. So, if a whole half year goes by, then we do have to really issue a fresh guidance from that perspective.
Yeah, because, I mean, last con call was in the month of May. So,
correct.
You already had 1.5 months.
So, we had a good April. We had a good April. Month of May was a little tough, but we didn't think that it would really last for that long. Agro kind of slowed down. So, agro did pretty well in April. Agro continued in May, and it slowed pretty quickly in June, July as well.
Okay. So, along with the decline in revenue, even the EBITDA margins will go down. So we were targeting somewhere in around 20% EBITDA margin. Correct. So now what are we targeting for this fiscal?
I think it will be somewhere around 12 to 15 only. It won't really be somewhere around 20.
Okay. And so looking at the demand scenario, so are we now going ahead with the CapEx plans or so how should we look at the CapEx thing going forward?
So we are revisiting our CapEx plans, but more or less we will be going forward. We don't see a big issue. We may slow down a little bit, so there could be some spillover from what the CapEx we had assumed for this year may go into, say, Q1 next year. But we, as per the plans, we are not really changing or, you know, reconsidering any plan. We may just push it for a quarter or so.
Okay, so that is competition side, or I mean demand side pressure as well as the competition, or it's only the competition which is hurting us?
Demand side pressure. So overall demand itself has reduced significantly.
Okay. Okay, that's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Manal Madlani from Kamaya Quilt. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. So we wanted to just check what is the current capacity utilization for all the chemistries.
Current capacity utilization on a company level is around 50%. All chemistries contributing almost around that.
Fair enough. And basically the pharma intermediates which we have launched and with the OAP that is coming in, how much are they supposed to contribute in FY24?
See, OAP, we are still facing some, you know, we want to improve our quality beyond what we are getting right now. So that when we are going to commercialize is we are still deciding. So OAP, and even if it does contribute, it will be somewhere in the range of 30-35 crores on a full year basis.
Understood. So is OAP, are we facing similar sort of things that we initially faced with PAP? And what is the current status of PAP? I believe we were supposed to reach a hybrid model, right? It's not a full continuous, but still getting good enough, volumes out of it.
Yeah, OAP, yes, similar kind of problem. So we are trying to resolve that as well. On PAP side, we did see a slowdown in the volume this quarter. That is mainly because the subsidiary also took a expansion shutdown in June. So to that extent, we were impacted. We are still, our quality, in fact, further improved on PAP side on a test basis. So we are seeing our ramp up to again streamline in quarter two and beyond. So currently, if I see the numbers, then it's somewhere around 300 tons per month, which is little less than what it was in Q4. But that's because of the slowdown. That's because of the shutdown in the subsidiary company. But from Q2 onwards, we are targeting to again cross 400, 500, and eventually by the end of the year, 600 kind of capacity per month.
Understood. And are you seeing some sort of demand improvement?
For PAP?
No, for overall, all chemistry.
No. In fact, demand is significantly impacted. So even Q2 seems to be on a low demand side itself. We are expecting Q3 to improve a little on dyes side, but we are yet to understand how agro is going to move.
Understood. I think I just have that much questions. All the best for the upcoming financial year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Saurabh Khandelwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. Sir, I have been seeing your performance from last 3 and 4 years, and our business is just struggling, and I don't see any sales progress, and more on that, the promoter selling, no attraction from DIs, FIs, and all over I would see the negative side of, you know, see the negative side. So what is the message you would like to give it to your investors as an individual, that where should we look at? I don't see this as a promoter. You are doing anything for as a retail investors and helping us out and being confident on this in this company and for the future. So how do you see that, and what do you guide us?
Sure. So firstly, yes, I do understand. Last 2 years have been on a difficult side for the company, but what needs to be appreciated is that we did a significant capex. We expanded into a lot of products. There, in any chemical company, you know, there are teething issues. There are problems that come in when you scale it up from laboratory to higher. And there are challenges with each chemistry. There are challenges of its own. So when we do the commercializing of a project and come into the line, it takes a bit of a time. Along with that, so these are just technical internal things that we have to do it. But at the same time, you have to also understand COVID came, then the Ukraine-Russia issue came, fuel prices came, overall. So all those issues hampered the demand. So it all kind of coincided together. And along with that, the Sarigam blast that we had, which also impacted our sales in chlorophenol. So a lot of things happened simultaneously in last 2 years, and that is why you see that kind of issue or the struggling phase of it. But once market dynamics improve, all of this should turn around pretty well.
But sir, it's not, you know, a small period which we awaited, right? It's been 3 years, I would say, 2020 October, if I'm correctly watching this, and now we are almost at July, and every quarter we hope it that the sales and performance, for the improvement, but and every time we get a disappointment. I'm not pretty sure about your Valiant Laboratories IPOs. Every time something is being committed to us and things are not getting fulfilled. Just think of as an investor that even we invested from the, 2020, the share prices dropped from 2000 to now 380, 400 rupees. What kind of a message is which we are giving it to the investor? Even promoters are not confident that either they come up and say that the buyback or something to boost the confidence on the investor side. So that would really mean us. Give us a confidence to be continued as an investor for longer term in this company. So please guide us on this.
Yes, so I understand what you're saying. We cannot really comment on share prices or the market, but what I can comment on is how the company is progressing and what we are doing, for the company and for its growth. But if you see, it's not just us who are suffering. Last one and a half year, it's all the companies in chemical sector. If you look closely, you will know everybody is down. Not just this group company, all of them are down 30%, 40%, 50%. So it's really, it's the market. It's the market dynamics that are really playing right now, and it's not really an internal issue that is the issue. Yes, I agree. If you're talking about PAP and the delayed coming up of that, which is, and we've resolved that issue, so that is also not behind us. But if the market dynamics are such, there's nothing that any one company or any one person can really do anything. We cannot control.
Sir, the last thing about the Valiant Laboratories IPO, any comment on that?
So that is, it's still in process. We are awaiting approvals. That is what I can say, because it's a different management, different thing. I cannot really comment on laboratories, but from what I can, it is still moving, progressing further.
Okay. Just, sir, anything which you can give us some guidance which can boost the confidence of the investor, or do we have to wait for the cycle to turn around? Because the cycle has been 3 years. So do you still see the one more years to see, turn around the cycle, or
something else can boost the confidence of the DIs or the FIs or something where they can invest on this for a longer period?
See, you have to so just keep the market dynamics out of the perspective, and you will see that the capex that has gone in has to give us the return, right? We have not ramped up our PAP fully. Our OAP has not started. Our pharma intermediates project just got commercialized, so that is also setting in. So all this will kind of boost. We've also introduced a new molecule in our chlorination. So not really a large like as a PAP project, but it's a newer molecule which will have a newer end usage, which will diversify further our product portfolio.
By this time, I think PAP we should have been ramped up by 900 metric per ton, right? Per month.
That guidance was anyway towards it's for the year. So by the end of the year, we are targeting to reach that production capacity. But the markets also should support. No, if there is the market has demand itself has gone down, what will I do with the?
Okay, sir. So we will not see any further dilution from the promoter side, or any comment on that.
I cannot comment. We have multiple promoters in the group, so I don't know who individually is doing that. So I do not have the control on that. But having said that, I will repeat what I have repeated all through my con calls, that there is good enough potential in the company, and the promoters also back that fully. So if anybody is selling, you should really check the quantity. It may not even be that impacting.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Gunit Singh from Counter Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so most of my questions have been asked, but in the last con call, you gave a guidance of 1200 CR. Was that on a standalone or alone or a consolidated basis?
Standalone.
And we have revised it down.
And now we are revising that guidance given the current market scenario.
Okay, that has been revised down to 850 CR.
Correct.
And EBITDA margins have been revised down from 20% to 12%.
Correct. So very difficult to predict at this point. Probably towards the end of next quarter or so, we'll know where it is going, because it will all depend on how price corrections are happening. On the raw material side, we do not see much volatility. It's just the top line that we are seeing the volatility right now.
Okay, so we are expecting slowdown in dyes and pigments and agrochem. What about pharma? I mean, you stated that pharma is expected to grow this year. So what's the outlook for that? And you gave a guidance for PAP of around 300 CR in FY24. So, I mean, how does that look?
So pharma overall, yes, no, we are seeing that there won't be much of an issue. But price corrections have come in. PAP prices have corrected significantly. So that will have an impact on the margins as well. However, the raw material of PAP has stabilized, but the top line is moving down fast. So what we did expect at the start of the year is now revised again. We are seeing somewhere around 170-180 crores coming in from PAP to the maximum side, probably 200, not beyond that. So that will also, you'll have to relook at that again. And the pharma intermediates, it's still at the starting phase. So we are yet to know how much it will come in. But on a full year basis, it should have accounted for somewhere around 60-65 crores. So this quarter it was negligible. So to that extent, it will come down.
All right, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Dishan Jain from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just wanted to clarify one thing. There is an exceptional item in this quarter. So can you just clarify?
It was a sale of a piece of land parcel that we had in Saika. That is what we sold.
Land parcel at where, sorry, sir?
Sorry?
Land parcel at which place?
Land. It was a land that we sold. So it was first with us, but we decided to not expand anything over there, so we sold it out.
Okay.
It was a small piece of land, so nothing big would have really come in over there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Shikhar Mundra from Vivog Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to understand. So there's a 30% degrowth in revenue. So how much of it is due to degrowth in volume and how much is it due to degrowth in price?
So around, on a company level, degrowth in volume is around 14-15% and somewhere around 10% is price.
Right.
But that's the entire product basket.
And so which chemistry is like most affected due to the China dumping and which chemistry product is fairly insulated from China?
Fairly insulated would probably be none. Affected are chlorination, chlorophenols got affected, dyes has also got affected, and PAP is the major part of it.
Oh, right, and these three contribute how much to our revenues?
These three would contribute somewhere around 50-odd%.
Right, and when you say 50-odd%, okay. And when you say affected, so like in terms of volume and price, like on average, what has been the price drop across these chemistries of chlorophenol, dyes, PAP?
So around almost a price correction of 25-30% across, be it PEP, be it chlorophenols or dyes. I unfortunately will not be able to give you individually, but you can assume it as 20% drop.
And what about the volume drop you would say across these three chemistries?
Volume drop is somewhere around percent because our capacity, we are running at 50% capacity and
right.
Earlier we were I think around 70, can assume 30% type capacity.
Volume drop, okay. Right. So 30% volume drop across these chemistries, okay. And which are the chemistries which are least affected from China, I would say less affected?
No, they're somewhere or the other affected with the China dumping. So be it either on raw material level or at a finished goods. But if you want to say leaves, then probably chlorophenols.
Okay. And so what was our like the capacity utilization before we undertook this huge capex of 450-500 crores? Because I'm trying to understand, what was the rationale behind taking such a huge capex when the demand is so uncertain?
So the huge, the capex came in over a period of four, five years. So
right.
It was one after the other. Prior to that, Valiant Organics was just a chlorophenol, chlorination company. Then we got amalgamated, we got merged with two other companies. We got in hydrogenation and ammonolysis. So chlorophenol also moved from 400 tons to 1500 tons a month kind of capacity first. Then we expanded our ammonolysis capacity to from 9000 to 16000. Then we took up PAP, which is a new unit itself. So there was no zero capacity utilization there. It was a new greenfield project. Then that came in. Along with that, our backward integration of OAPA came in. OAP
right.
is still ongoing, and then eventually pharma intermediate. So it happened in phases. It's not really something that we took up, started all together. But they were different products, different chemistries. So while we were doing that, the demand scenario is down since a year and a half.
It's a cycle. Okay. It will come back. But what we did not expect is the Euro crisis or the COVID, which kind of shifted a lot of other dynamics.
All right. And so when was the last time we experienced such a bad cycle in like chlorophenols and the products we used to do like 4 or 5 years earlier, like chlorophenols and even in PAP? Yeah.
So in chlorophenol, I think Valiant saw this in 92. But overall, at a company, because we also faced some issue during the overall market recession that started from 2006-2008.
Okay.
That time there was some bit of an issue, but something of this sort at this magnitude is first time. Because a lot of factors came in together. Every time there was one reason why the issue was there. This time there are at least 2-3 reasons, why the whole slowdown has come in.
Right. So there is no way we can predict like how long will this dumping go on. It can be 2 years, 3 years also. Like there's no way we can predict it or like how is China able to exactly dump it? So are companies making losses? Or like, are they just selling at break even? So what is exactly happening? Like,
so with China, I think they are facing their internal degrowth, and because of that, there is some bit of excess production at their end, which they are now trying to mitigate by selling at a lower price. One thing I've heard that they even sell at RMC, raw material at the cost margin being almost zero. So that is happening, but I think that is more of inventory destocking. Once that happens, everybody is going to manage or rationalize their capacity utilization to a more optimum level. Even if it's a downward move.
That's good to hear. And one final question. So from my understanding, I understand that there's a lot of public shareholding, which is actually a promoter shareholding. So why is it not getting reclassified?
I think reclassification needs different, so to be very honest, even I don't have the answer to that, but reclassification is something that we've not looked at, but point taken, I'll probably get
it. Yeah, because it's something very important, this to boost up the investor confidence in such times. So, But that's my feedback.
Point taken.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Jitin Parmar from Ahuram Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon. My question is basically on the debt. What will be our peak debt once all the expansion and capex is done?
Peak debt?
Yes.
So right now on a term loan we are at some around 90 crores, and on a short term also we are somewhere around 91-92. So total about little less than around 190 to 195 crores is our total debt, and as of now we are not considering taking any significant debt, but we'll have to revisit this in probably a couple of months again to know how the markets have moved, depending on that, how we plan on our capex cash flow. But as of now, this is our peak.
Yeah, okay. And so what is the plan for retiring this debt of around 200 crores?
The plan is, our loans are 5-year payback quarterly, so that is in process. So we will pay back almost 40 to 45 crores of term loan in this year, which we are comfortable to repay. There's no issue there. And the following year will be, in fact, a little lower than 40, 45 crores. So that is not an issue. But by FY26, our existing term loans become zero.
Okay. And my question is on, I understand that, times have been difficult. We are not in a very good cycle right now. But my question is more on the execution side, specifically what has happened with the PAP and seems to be happening now with the OAP also. Is there, a manpower challenge, or and how what are we doing to mitigate that? Because we had talked a lot on PAP that, you know, it will go to continuous process and somehow it didn't happen. And so how are we mitigating that? Because apart from, you know, the industry specific challenges, we've also had challenges which are internal to our company. So how are we mitigating that? What steps we are taking to do that?
See, firstly, we did the first change that we did was from a full continuous, we brought it down to a semi-continuous. So that is one, we eventually took a call that, you know, since we are getting our product quality that we desire in a batch process, let's just move with that. Along with that, there are no manpower issue as such. It is fairly okay. We are basically, we have not reached our optimum output in PAP, which is why we are facing the issue. But once we cross the 500-600 tons per month barrier, then it should kind of you know, mitigate by itself.
Okay. No, so I mean, have we made any changes there to, you know, basically get that process in place? And, you know, that is what my question
changes,
is.
Yes, changes have been made. Technical changes, process changes have been made. I won't be able to get more into that because I'm not the right person. But changes were made. They've been identified as being also successful at a test run level. So those will get implemented in a couple of months. So that should not be an issue. So we don't see a challenge on PAP ramp up as of now.
Okay. And what about OAP?
OAP is a similar thing. We are we are just waiting for the quality. So there are some impurities in that which we are trying to eliminate, and that is the only hurdle that we are facing. But once we get that, that will also move on swiftly.
So any timeline for that, please?
At this point, unfortunately, I will not be able to give you a timeline because you know, these are experimental level, and then we have to take it at commercial level, then we have to see how it goes. So unfortunately, no timeline on OAP. Oh. For PAP, by the end of this year, we'll be able to we'll be streamlined.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from Parthiv Shah from TSBCL. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. I was going through your annual report 2019-20, over which you had written that, you know, we also have a land bank of 68,000 square meters at Saykha and Dahej, Gujarat, to further develop new products. So this was for like a long-term expansion plan. Now, I want to understand, one, this Saykha land out of the 68,000 square meter was what quantum? And where was it sold to? Is it sold to some group company for their expansion plans, or is it been sold to some third party? If you could clarify on that, please.
Yeah, so the land in Saykha was sold to the subsidiary company for their expansion. So it is a part of the group on a consolidated level, a group expansion. So that got sold. In the other land parcel that we sold is basically in, we are also considering buying in Atali, which we have to buy. So we had to sell off that, and then we bought the Atali land in order to expand our chlorination site, and also logistically it made more sense. So
the entire land of 68,000 square meter was sold, or only part, the Saykha part, and the rest part is still with Wayland?
No, that full cycle land is sold.
So what sort of expansion the subsidiary company had to make which Valiant couldn't make? So it seems like the benefit is being given to some subsidiary company where the promoters have higher stake. It looks like that. So could you throw some light on that?
So I will not be able to disclose what expansion they are doing, but it is definitely nothing of that sort because promoter holding in Valiant is also almost similar, but having said that, their expansion made more sense given the location of it and the identification of products that were there. It meant more sense for Valiant Laboratories to get into it rather than Valiant Organics to get, because we are more focused on hydrogenation, chlorination, ammonia analysis. Getting into a newer chemistries would not, you know, it's not really a great point.
Okay, and any sort of capital gains tax that you have to pay on this land?
Sorry?
Any sort of capital gain tax you have to pay on this land sale?
Last year we have paid, but I'll have to get back to you on the capital gains bit.
Okay. Now, sir, the scenario is bleak. So I would like to understand in detail what sort of cost-cutting measures you have taken at all levels, which also includes employee cost, and also like to understand why the interest costs have shot up quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year. Thank you.
Coming first to interest cost, interest rate itself has been on a rise since last 1.5-2 years. So that is one impact. Second is we commercialized the pharma intermediate project also. So the interest that used to get capitalized, for the pharma intermediates plant was also now capitalized. So it had now hit the P&L. So that sudden jump is seen.
Okay, and can you give me detailed explanation of all sorts of cost-cutting measures that you have taken, which companies tend to take in such a scenario? And will we expect any sort of employee cost coming down quarter-on-quarter, next quarter?
No, so we don't really see employee cost coming down. We have rationalized our contract workers at a plant level. We've revisited our expenses on how we spend overtime, how we give overtime to labor, what are the wages. So we've relooked upon that and we have rationalized to that extent. But at a full company level, we don't see any employee cost going down. We the power costs have gone up, so we've also invested in a renewable captive plant. So that should give some benefit about 2.5 to 3 crores on an per annum basis. It will benefit us. So that is another point that we've done. Third is we are introducing DCS systems across plant that will automate, will bring in more efficiencies. So that process is process improvements we're doing. But other than that, nothing on a side as such right now that I can share.
One more thing I would like to talk and discuss. See, the biggest problem with Valiant Organics is that it seems that there are too many owners and too many heads managing the company. As you also mentioned that, you cannot give a dope upon who will sell his or her stake and, there are so many heads. It's getting very complicated. Why don't the management at the top level think of professionalizing the company more and having more like a, professionally run companies like you've seen in many other chemical peers where, there are not so many heads taking care of different plants and, it seems like there is gross miscommunication. See, I'll be very frank with you. Even a thing like this land, you are mentioning in your annual report that this is used for future expansion in Valiant. And then all of a sudden you land up selling and it goes to a subsidiary company. Imagine what sort of message does it throw to the investors. Investors would feel that, maybe the benefit is given to some other company which is not public, though it's a subsidiary and hardly benefits Valiant. That is one thing. Second thing, always we've been guiding different change, different targets. And I understand the current scenario is bad, so, there's no justification for the scenario. But, when things were good, we always missed on our targets, missed on the impurities. And I saw a lot of other competitors in the same PAP field using PNCG route, and we always had an upper hand with PNCG because we had sourcing from RT Industries. We were somehow totally failed to ramp up when, things were good. In fact, probably we would have been a debt-free company by now. Had at that juncture, we've been able to produce proper volume of proper quality. So, I hope the top management feels that, there needs to be more professionalism in the company and not have so many heads. It runs like a Lalaji ki Dukan, to be very honest, and probably that's also another reason why our valuations have been massively, massively eroded and derated.
Thanks, Arthur. That's just many questions. I'll answer as many as I now recollect. One is on the land sale. See, we've sold. When we bought the land, it was at a good price. We bought it. We did think we will have plans for it. But we were facing troubles with the PAP, OAP, so we did not focus on any greenfield expansion to a newer land. While having said that, expansion at the subsidiary level is also an expansion at our level as well, right? The benefit will be seen at Valiant also, so you cannot completely say that we've sold it off and we are not thinking about it at all. Any expansion, any benefit the subsidiary gets, we'll also have a 45% benefit of that coming in, 45-50%. So that is one thing. Secondly, we sold and we bought another land at Atali, which is, like I said, can operate more, logistically makes more sense. It has a direct pipeline to our chlorination plant, direct connection, which helps the expansion plan there. So it's one sold and one bought, honestly. That is one thing. Second, yes, you're right. The company is, there are multiple heads. So there are plant heads who are running the company, at a silos level. But it's not that the management is not aware or management is not really into it. As far as making it more professional is concerned, a point taken, management is, has not been against it at all. It is just that the focus is more on really bringing the existing capex to good operational level, and then other things can be taken care of eventually. What I remember now, if I've missed any questions, you can ask again.
No, sir, I appreciate your detailed answer, and I just would really appreciate if this can be taken up at this juncture when things are slow, so that whenever hopefully the next good cycle comes, we at least see decent re-rating, because trust me, sir, it's not only about the current scenario, it's also about the impression in the market as to how our company is run. So if that could be changed and be more professionalized, a better message would go, and hopefully that would coincide with better run, whatever we are expecting after a few quarters, So I think, I hope this is, because this has been something that in the investor meets also we have been discussing a lot. When there are so many different heads, then, the investors also feel nervous as to, how the capital allocation policy will be taken care of. So last 3 years, probably I would say that despite building fixed assets, investors have not benefited anything out of it. So I hope this is taken as a feedback, and I think we improve going ahead.
Correct. No, point definitely taken and accepted. But it is just an unfortunate timing that the capex also came online with global crisis. You cannot remove the global crisis out of our conversation, because everything is really dependent on demand and supply, right? So I cannot put that aside and then have a comment. If the markets are down globally, and if all our chemistries are suffering because of that, of course, the returns on those investments are going to suffer. So, and last 2 years, 3 years, it has been like that. Starting with COVID, every year there is a new issue that comes up and disrupts everything. And it's not just us, it's all chemical companies, which, I'm sure you're tracking most of them. So you should have realized that, it is not just Valiant Organics.
Fair point, sir. I appreciate the problem that we are facing currently, which is on the board, overall industry. But hopefully, with our processes, and this is probably a golden opportunity for us to ensure that all our plants, all our new capex is on stream, so that when the good times come, we don't still complain about the quality issues, the production ramp-up issues. That's only my feedback. So thank you very much for answering my questions. And I really appreciate, in a tough scenario, you all came with a con call, which a lot of other investor managements have avoided. So I appreciate your brain.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from Saurabh Khandelwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, the one thing which I would like to ask is, as a layman, at what parameter I should be tracking at that to find out that this downtrend cycle is over? Means China dumping is over, or we going towards smoothening our the sales and all that. So any tracking way to find out for as a layman?
See, as a layman, I think you can track the overall textile industry improving, because if textile improves, our dyes products improve. So that is one chemistry which is linked to textile. The second is agro. If agro is improving, both the local and export, European, Japanese, both agro markets improve, then we'll have a, we'll see an improvement in our agro also. And for pharma, you can really more closely check the paracetamol market.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Sanket from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Just one thing. Valiant Laboratory is definitely a subsidiary of Valiant Chemical, no? Valiant Organic?
Yeah, it's a subsidiary of Valiant Organic.
Okay. So
it's an indirect subsidiary. It's an indirect subsidiary of Valiant Organic.
It, in the, anyway, it is linked with the company, no?
Yes, yes.
Around how, by what time is the IPO going to come? Because we are planning to do properly good investment in that company.
No, fair enough, but that is something that Valiant Laboratories management has the liberty to answer. I will not be able to comment.
Okay, can you just tell me the time frame? By what timing the IPO will be launched?
I will have to recheck with their management. I don't know. They filed the DRHP. They are waiting for approvals from the respective boards. And once that is done, I think they'll again start with their updating of the RHP.
Okay. And last question: are the margins and sales and the operation activity of Valiant Laboratory going to improve ahead in future?
With the expansion plans, yes, it will improve. But as far as paracetamol, Valiant Laboratories key chemistry is concerned, that will remain stable as it is.
And the rest of the product in which the company is dealing are the sales
it's
and operations.
It's a single product company currently.
Okay. But the guidance and all are future and all are really bright for the company.
I cannot see it in that perspective. I cannot comment like that. But yeah, we see the upside and the potential, and hence the expansion, and hence the capex is going in right for the greenfield. We see that bright.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And just make sure that investors we remain intact with the company.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Now, I hand over the floor to Mr. Tushar for closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, we would like to thank the management of Valiant Organics and the participants. Good day.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dur Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.